Few things are more shocking than watching the egregious and violent riots in our city streets, the destruction of public property, the abject defiance against police officers, and senseless violence. It all breaks our hearts. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his brand new study in the Book of Lamentations. It's called Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. In this next study, we find Jeremiah kicking through the rubble of Jerusalem after the Babylonians had ransacked the city he loved. It's a pitiful scene of disappointment and lament. Chuck titled today's message, None But the Lonely Heart.
I'm so grateful that we have an anchor for our souls. In tumultuous times, we have the Word of God to feed on, to feed our souls. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I did eat them. Do you know he said that? Well, he wrote that, and it's right here in his book. And your words are unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. He may have been a weeping prophet, and indeed he was, but there was something about knowing he had in the Word of God an anchor for his life and direction in the midst of a disobedient, rebellious people among whom he lived for 40 years and then watched them marched off into exile. He could have thought that his whole ministry was fruitless and in many ways worthless. On the contrary, the Lord gave him his message and Jeremiah faithfully declared it. And when he had the opportunity to reflect on the Lord's message, he said, your words were like food to me. When I found your word, I assimilated them. I took them into my life, and I fed on them, and they gave me joy, rejoicing for my heart. We turn to God's word today in the book of Lamentations. Please find that, if you will, just beyond the long book of Jeremiah, just before the long prophecy of Ezekiel. Wedged in here is like a few pages from the prophet's journal that he completed while witnessing the backwash of the people's disobedience. And as he saw them leave on their way to the Babylonian exile, he wrote these lamentations, five chapters. You'll remember that form a very elaborate poem. Each of the first four chapters is a very attractive poem in the original language, designed to help people commit it to memory so they would never forget. I'm reading from the New Living Translation excerpts from this first chapter, and because we respect the Lord our God and we honor his word, we stand when we read it together. So please stand. He begins, Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, she's now a slave. She sobs through the night. Tears stream down her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one left to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her and become her enemies. Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with cruel slavery. She lives among foreign nations and has no place of rest. Her enemies have chased her down. She has nowhere to turn. Verse 6, all the majesty of beautiful Jerusalem has been stripped away. Her princes are like starving deer searching for pasture. They are too weak to run from the pursuing enemy. Verse 14, he wove my sins into ropes to hitch me to a yoke of captivity. The Lord sapped my strength and turned me over to my enemies. I am helpless in their hands. The Lord has treated my mighty men with contempt. At his command, a great army has come to crush my young warriors. The Lord has trampled his beloved city like grapes are trampled in a wine press. For all these things, I weep. Tears flow down my cheeks. No one is here to comfort me. Any who might encourage me are far away. My children have no future. Verse 21, others heard my groans, but no one turned to comfort me. When my enemies heard about my troubles, they were happy to see what you had done. Oh, bring the day you promised, when they will suffer as I have suffered. Look at all their evil deeds, Lord. Punish them as you have punished me for all my sins. My groans are many, and I am sick at heart.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, None But the Lonely Heart.
Peter Tchaikovsky was a lonely genius. He was the first Russian-born composer to be known internationally. And what a composer. And what a lonely, depressed man. Sort of like Edgar Allan Poe, who seemed to do his best work in the pit. Tchaikovsky just turned out one piece after another, even though he was depressed to the point some felt of losing his mind. Lonely, anguished, depressed. Interestingly, he didn't really begin to compose music until he was about in the middle of his years, and he only lived to be 53, but he left in his legacy a magnificent repertoire of music that, well, musicians have played and sung for years. When things were so bad, he made a disastrous mistake and married the wrong woman. It lasted but a few weeks, really only three or four, and he plunged deeper into despair. At that point, some wondered if he would not only not be able to go on, but ever write music again. It seemed to spur him on, as a matter of fact, and he wrote some of his best pieces beyond that time. Talk about prolific. 8 symphonies, 11 operas, 13 concertos, not to mention instrumental music for orchestral arrangements that covered about a page and a half in my notes as I took them down doing the research. Among them, the Nutcracker, Sleeping Beauty, the fantasy overture Romeo and Juliet, the 1812 overture with cannon. Yeah, I love that. Just a magnificent piece, and Tchaikovsky's work sort of stands alone. When you hear it, you know it's his. And I've not even mentioned those pieces he wrote for voice and piano. Those pieces just go on and on and on. Among them was one of his favorites. We know it today as None But the Lonely Heart Can Feel This Anguish. He titled it Opus 6. Sounds like a genius title, doesn't it? Opus 6. None But the Lonely Heart. Why did it mean so much to him? Because it was his heart. Johann von Goethe, years earlier, had written about none but the weary heart can know this anguish, but Tchaikovsky felt it was the lonely heart that could really feel anguish. If you're lonely today, you don't need any convincing. There's an anguish all to itself among the lonely. Especially if you can't see anything in the future. It's all dark. Few people could understand better than the prophet Jeremiah. Think of it. 40 years. Think of 40 years. 4 consecutive decades, warnings, preachings, predictions, only to be met with resistance, pushback, persecution. They even imprisoned him, shoved him aside, acted as though he was nothing, rejected him 40 years. I feel bad when one sermon doesn't go well. The guy had 40 years of them and could not name lives that were changed or hearts that were reframed. None but the lonely heart can feel such anguish. All those years he lived in his beloved Jerusalem, or at least near there, and he would often be in the city. And while in the city, he took it as the opportunity to warn the people, it will not always be beautiful like this. You will not always have the festivals like you now enjoy. You continue in these idolatrous ways, you will know judgment from God. It's coming. They didn't want to hear that. They gagged him every way they could, but it never silenced his message. Interesting, the name Jeremiah never appears in the Book of Lamentations. Never once. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Lamentations, does state this in its prefix. It came to pass after Israel was taken captive and Jerusalem made desolate, Jeremiah sat weeping and lamented this lamentation over Jerusalem. The Latin Vulgate adds to that, in bitterness of heart with sighing and crying. Tradition has it that the prophet sat and wept in a cave on the western side of the city. Remember, the people were led into exile toward the east, toward Babylon. He sat far away from that as he could, couldn't bear the sight of watching so many strong and capable men and women pushed out of the city, treated like cattle, their children beside them, disillusioned, hollowed eyes as they're making their way toward what? Who knew? A land they'd never been to, that spoke a language they didn't know, representing a culture that was foreign to them. all because they refused to hear and heed Jeremiah's warnings. I think it's interesting that God left him in Jerusalem along with a few other outcasts. Here he is, never married, never knowing the joys of children around him, growing up to affirm him and encourage him, never really a home like you and I enjoy, stood firm to his convictions, and yet none of them were heeded. That's heartbreaking stuff. That's sad. But that's exactly what transpired. And so the Lord led him, interestingly, not simply to sit in a cave and cry, but to take note of lessons learned in the backwash of disobedience. It's called, in our Bibles, Lamentations. I don't know of another book that is like this one among the 66 that frame the books of the Bible. This is a record, one chapter after another, in this elegant acrostic piece of poetry that records the consequences of sin. Oh, I know we talk about it. We even quote, the wages of sin is, these are the wages. This is the result of following other gods, listening to ancestors who were wrong, following in the pattern of parents who give bad counsel, forming habits that will hurt you. No, it doesn't just go away. It bears consequences. It's still the job of the preacher to remind men and women of the consequences of wrongdoing. And those reminders fit my life just as they fit yours. I do wrong, I suffer consequences. And my message today is because they did wrong, they too suffered the consequences. I don't want us to ever forget it. I don't want us to cease telling our children, walk in obedience, otherwise, there's a heavy price. You won't make a good marriage partner. You won't be a good parent. You won't even be a good friend because you're moving in the wrong direction, that is, against what God wants for you. And what will it be like? Well, that brings us to the opening elegy of Lamentations. This is as though the city who is speaking, you remember, is testifying at her own funeral. She stands to speak, and she speaks through the pen of the prophet. Look at the three stark contrasts that pack verse 1. Jerusalem, once full of people, is now deserted. The once is back then, the now is here, here and now. So that's the contrast. Once full of people, busy people, laughing people, involved people in one another's lives, marrying, going to festivals, having parties, planning their lives together, busy with life, working in the marketplace, selling and buying. But it's now deserted. Once busy, once full of people, now deserted. Look at the second one. She was once great among the nations. Why? The people looked at the flag flying over Jerusalem, the Star of David, the envy of other nations, and they saw her as great. Look at that. Look at that history. Look at that flag. But now, sits alone like a widow. Once great, but now alone. Once the queen of all the earth, but now a slave. A slave. A slave. All of those people who left the city left as slaves. You know the heartbreak and what makes Jeremiah cry? It need not have been. F.B. Meyer writes, this is the bitterest of all to know that suffering need not have been, that it is the harvest of one's own rearing, that it's the result of indiscretion and inconsistency and neglect, that the vulture which feeds on the vitals is the nestling of one's own rearing. Ah, me, this is pain. In other words, it need not have been. You people need not have gone into Babylon as captives if you had only acknowledged the wrong of your way and repented and turned back to God. But you not only followed other gods, you taught your children to do that. And they taught their children to do that. Of course, we do as we're taught, unless revival happens. She sobs through the night, tears stream down her cheeks among all her lovers. There's no one left to comfort her. All her friends betrayed her and become her enemies. Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with, he says it again, cruel slavery, has no place of rest. You know, this reminds me of the, let's take the individual who has broken the law. And this person finds himself or herself in the courtroom. The jury has found that person guilty. And the judge has sentenced the individual to years in prison. This individual is sitting there, no one to take away the tears, no one to offer comfort, no one to defend, no one to rescue, no one to bring relief, no one to bring celebration and joy, no one to sing songs. And then is told to stand up, hear the sentence, marched out the door alone, transported to the place of incarceration, iron bars open. The person gets in, the bars close, the window is barred, the cot is hard, it's a stark room, and you drop onto the cot, and this is how you feel. I take my time with this because this is not written to prisoners. This is written to people who were free, who had known the blessing and the pleasure of God. But they closed their ears to the prophet's words. He had been sent to warn them. He, along with a couple of other very faithful prophets, will have nothing to do with that. Even their priests had no place for the living God in their preaching and in their, quote, ministry. It's the lamentations of a broken-hearted man who must have said to himself every night, it need not have been.
Chuck Swindoll has called the Book of Lamentations Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. It's a fitting title because of the obvious grief Jeremiah displayed over the rebellion of his people. Well, this study from Chuck was originally presented at Stonebriar Community Church only a few weeks ago. And it's remarkable to see the relevance of this ancient book as Jeremiah wept over the severe consequences of God's wrath. You're invited to download the free study notes for this series by going to insightworld.org/studies. In light of our times, perhaps you're looking to engage in conversations that have nothing to do with the coronavirus or the open rebellion around the world. Maybe a touch of levity would be welcome. Well, Chuck wrote a classic book on joy that arose from his study of Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's called Laugh Again, Experience Outrageous Joy. And you'll find all the information on how to receive a copy of Laugh Again by going to insight.org/store. And then I'd like to conclude with an encouraging word from one of our listeners, who's very grateful to those who give generously to support Insight for Living. This person left a comment that said, "Yesterday, what you posted on forgiveness ministered to me so much. I did what I needed to do, said what I needed to say, and prayed the prayer of forgiveness. Today, I've had pure joy." That's what we need, is pure joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you. Well, it's so encouraging to hear how God uses this program to inspire forgiveness and joy. And it's made possible by people like you, our monthly companions, and anyone who gives voluntary donations. To give a gift today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe Jeremiah's Journal of Woes, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, None But the Lonely Heart, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.